Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about the end times. Our story is from the Wall Street Journal and is entitled, U.S., Israel, UAE, and Bahrain Sign Peace Accord. Trump says agreement will form the basis for a broader alignment against Iran, by Gordon Lubold and Felicia Schwartz, Washington. President Trump presided over the signing of a Middle East peace agreement between Israel and two Gulf nations Tuesday, calling it the foundation for a broader alignment against Iran that would fundamentally change the geopolitical dynamic of the region. The so-called Abraham Accords, brokered by the U.S. and signed by the U.S., Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain, normalizes tensions and relations between the nations and further isolates Tehran. The agreement also leaves out the Palestinians, who have not engaged with the Trump administration and its peace efforts since Washington recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. I think Israel isn't isolated anymore, President Trump said in the Oval Office before the signing alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He said, at least five or six countries will be coming along very quickly. The signing upends nearly a century of regional politics and business and brings together top U.S. allies in the turbulent Middle East. In remarks just before the signing, Mr. Netanyahu said the day heralds a new dawn of peace. Praising Mr. Trump, the Israeli leader said the agreements would have been unimaginable a few years ago. Mr. Trump, in his comments, noted the practical nature of the accords, which allowed the countries to establish embassies in one another's countries and begin to cooperate economically, politically, and socially. They're going to work together. They are friends, Mr. Trump added. The president has repeatedly said the benefits of the peace deal will encourage other countries to join. Sheikh Abdullah bin Zayed Al Nahyan, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and International Cooperation for the United Arab Emirates, said the agreements represented a change that will send hope around the world. This accord will enable us to continue to stand by the Palestinian people and realize their hopes for an independent state within a stable and prosperous region, he said. Abdullatif bin Rashid Al Zayani, the Minister of Foreign Affairs for Bahrain, called the accords an important first step in bringing about lasting peace and security. A just, comprehensive, and enduring two-state solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict will be the foundation, the bedrock, of such peace, he said, to applause. Mr. Trump said Iran could also make a deal on its nuclear program with the U.S. after the election. Mr. Trump, 2 years ago, pulled the U.S. out of the 2015 nuclear deal between six world powers in Tehran. I'm going to make a deal that's great for Iran, Mr. Trump said in the Oval Office. Iran will be very happy. Earlier in the day, Mr. Trump, in a Fox News interview, warned Iran over news that Tehran was considering an attack against U.S. ambassador to South Africa. If they do anything to anybody, they'll be hit 1,000 times harder than they hit us, he said, without corroborating the reports, which haven't been confirmed by the Wall Street Journal. A larger achievement for Israel, a deal with Saudi Arabia, remains out of reach despite years of secret coordination on security issues and commercial dealings that have broken down barriers of mistrust. The Saudi kingdom appears to have been on board with Tuesday's diplomatic breakthroughs, and U.S. officials say Saudi Arabia consented to Bahrain's deal with Israel. I spoke with the King of Saudi Arabia, and we had a great conversation, and I think positive things will happen there too, Mr. Trump said. Riyadh has opened its airspace for commercial flights between Israel and the UAE, signaling that the seat of Islam's two holiest places welcomed its neighbor's rapprochement with the Jewish state. Despite a gradual alignment with Israel, particularly on security issues involving Iran, Saudi Arabia's steadfast public support for Palestinian hopes of building a state alongside Israel with Jerusalem as its capital means the kingdom must tread more carefully than its smaller Gulf neighbors in normalizing ties. We have strong relationships throughout the Middle East, Mr. Netanyahu said, adding that other nations want to join the circle of peace. The deals signed on Tuesday represent a blow to the Palestinians, who have been leaning on Gulf Arab states to pressure Israel into concessions on Palestinian statehood in exchange for normalized ties and Israeli integration into the regime. Mr. Trump said that the Palestinians would join the agreements at the right time. Officials from the UAE, Bahrain, and other Gulf countries have said that they are frustrated with the Palestinians. A senior Emirati official, Omar Saif Khobash, assistant minister for culture and public diplomacy in the UAE foreign ministry, told the national newspaper that the Emirati deal with Israel marks a new approach in the region and a shift away from, quote, the logic that has dominated Arab discourse for a long time, which was that the Gulf states are a sort of gift to give the Israelis after the establishment of a Palestinian state. We're basically signaling that kind of approach is over, he told the newspaper. Okay, So this has not been a major news story, which in and of itself, I think is a pretty significant commentary on the state of American journalism. The fact of the matter is, no matter how you want to cut it, this peace deal is the foundation for at least a contemporary peace in the Middle East. Will peace in the Middle East last forever? No, because this fallen world is fallen, and no peace is eternal in a fallen world. And so wise people, people who've read and understood and believed and ordered their lives around the Bible, people who base their understanding of this world and this universe on what God has said, by the way, those are the only kinds of wise people there are, but those kinds of people recognize that in this world, peace can be good, even if it's not eternal, because there is nothing in this world that is going to be lasting. Everything is going to change someday. With the parousia, with the coming of Christ, things are going to change. This current way that the world operates is going to change. And so we recognize that. And moreover, things can be good even if they come with negative side effects, even if they come with limitations, even if they're temporary, because they can be good insofar as they reflect the will of God. Nothing is perfect in this world. There's nothing that's a perfect good because only God is a perfect good. But when we say that something is good, something is positive, something is good, we're saying that it is moving in the direction of what God's will is. Now, right now, there are a lot of people who hate Donald Trump. And they're trying to downplay this peace deal. Now, let me make it clear. I'm not in the bag for President Trump. I really do not like a lot of things about his character. I think that he deserves all the criticism he gets when he's crass and rude and ignorant. I think he has significant character flaws. I think that he has made mistakes in his foreign policy. I think that he makes a profession of Christianity that, while it may be sincere, I have some serious doubts. I think he is probably just a cultural Christian, and which, by the way, a cultural Christian is really no Christian at all. I am ready, willing, and able to criticize our president when he does things wrong or poorly. But that doesn't change the fact that what he has done right now, this peace deal, and the things that he has done, the things that he does do, and the things that he will do in the future for America, he has done a lot of good things. And the problem in journalism in this country today is that, and by the way, remember that this show critiques journalism is a large part of what we're doing here. But the problem with journalism today in this country is that too many journalists in this country are so rabidly dogmatic, or perhaps religiously dogmatic, about their political priors that they refuse to recognize when someone on the other side does something good. And so instead of admitting that something good can come from someone they loathe, they try to denigrate and downplay its significance. And that's what's happening with this peace deal. Journalists are either ignoring it or trying to pretend that it's bad. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that this was just a distraction that President Trump orchestrated. Others say that the deal's a nothing burger because Israel and the UAE and Bahrain weren't at war. There are other, even more weak tea critiques than this, if you can believe it, there are more weak tea critiques than these. But if you want to make a really good answer to the criticism, if you want to read one at least, check out the Jerusalem Post, because the Jerusalem Post answers these criticisms and makes a case for why this deal is good and important, even though it's imperfect. But so what if it's imperfect? Do Arabs want a two-state solution? Yes. All the Arabs want a national home for the Palestinians. But guess what? Arab states are also sick to death of the intransigence and pro-Iranian nonsense of the Palestinian terrorist leadership. So, of course the Arabs want a sovereign Palestinian state. But they are currently past caring to do anything of significance to get a sovereign Palestinian state. They've seen the Palestinians throw away opportunity after opportunity for durable peace in their own state. They've seen the Palestinians continue to be offered peace, prosperity, and statehood and constantly reject it. Why? Because the Palestinian leaders are either so viciously anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist that they refuse anything less than the eradication of the Jewish state, or they rely on the political power they can wield by living in constant war. Because let's not pretend that war cannot be intensely profitable for the cynical. As Sir John Hawkwood of Hundred Years' War fame once said, "Do you not know that I live by war and that peace would be my undoing?" There are a lot of people in the Palestinian leadership for whom peace would be their undoing. The reality is that this deal isn't perfect, but that doesn't mean it isn't good. That doesn't mean that it won't foster further cooperation and help produce peace and prosperity. Will this peace last forever? No. No, it won't. In fact, let's go to the Bible. Let's read Daniel 11, beginning in verse 36. The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. He will show no regard for the God of his ancestors or the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his ancestors. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many peoples and will distribute the land at a price. At the time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt, with the Libyans and the Cushites in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. Now, let's look at Revelation 19 and see how Jesus, through John, explains the Daniel text, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 19. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and of the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But this beast was captured, and with the false prophet who had performed the signs on his behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Brothers and sisters, let me get personal. I love the Jewish people because I love Jesus. I love the Jewish people because I have Jewish ancestry. I love the Jewish people because my wife has Jewish blood. I love the Jewish people because my children have Jewish blood. And I, because I believe the Bible, I believe that someday there will be a world war directed against Israel, that Christ will come and he will stop that war. He will destroy those who are arrayed against Israel, and he will create a lasting world peace where he is the ruler, and he rules from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. I believe the Bible is plain and clear that Jesus will return and rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and that this will begin the real peace, the peace that will last forever, the real peace between Israel and the world. Is the Israel-UAE-Bahrain deal going to last forever? No. No, it is not. But it is a foretaste. It is a shadow of the peace that will someday come. Right now, Israel and the UAE and Bahrain are united out of expediency. They're all afraid of Iran. They're all tired of missing out on the money they could be making. They're all tired of terrorism, but they don't love each other. To this day, the sons and daughters of Abraham do not love each other. There may be peace, but there's no shalom. But I believe that there will be. And I long for the day when all the children of Abraham in the flesh will be children of Abraham in the spirit, and they will all be children of God who love each other in Christ Jesus. And now, as Christians, we recognize that the peace the world gives, it isn't really peace. And so we weep for sorrow, but we also know that someday there will be true peace, and that the Abraham Accords remind us of that, and so we cry for joy. And if we're wise, we too will seek to be peacemakers, not just between man and man, but between God and man. If we are wise, we'll be ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us, "Be ye reconciled to God." Brothers and sisters, let's help foster peace agreements between men and God through the great mediator, the God-man, Jesus Christ. I hope and pray we will, and I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth and Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to his glory.